Deutschlandfunk. Corso. Kunst und Pop.
Ezra Furman, you said in an interview, the narrative thread is, I'm in love with an angel and the government is after us and we have to leave because angels are illegal, as is harboring angels. Transangelic Exodus is the topic of the album. Songs like Driving Down to LA resemble a road movie with the two protagonists escaping in a fast car, hunted by neo-Nazis. It seems like a concept record. Have you been inspired by this genre, road movie?
Yeah, I like some road movies. I like films and I like novels. And I was allowing those kind of things, like longer form things, to inspire this record we made, and trying to make it as good as a book or a great film. I guess the songs really seem to have a lot in common with each other in terms of themes. And then the same characters started coming up, and then I had to put some effort to pull it together emotionally, make it like kind of a dreamlike epic poem.
Yeah, it's a dream, but maybe also like a bad dream, if I can say, put it like this. In the opener song, you sing, angel, don't fight it. To them, you know, we'll always be freaks. This sounds so desperate, as if your protagonists have lost the fight against a hostile surrounding. I thought, why do they give up? Why don't they fight back?
Well, when you feel like you're totally outnumbered and overpowered, what you can still do is run and keep running. I think that's the idea, that sometimes you have to just leave. And if you don't stay in one place for any length of time, that's your last weapon. I think it's the feeling of being individuals against like a giant system that is set up to trap or hurt you that I'm trying to evoke, which I have often felt like. I'm not so good at joining communities. Maybe it's my personality, or maybe I just haven't found very many communities that I feel like I can really fit with.
I mean, I would describe you, I don't know if I'm right, like a queer person. You are cross-dressing as an artist. You are maybe a role model for the gay or queer community. But when we look at the USA, where President Trump wanted to ban transgender people from the army, a president who is oppressing minorities, or these neo-Nazi riots in Charlottesville, which are also a little bit topic of this Driving Down to LA song, how do you see your work as an artist in this situation?
Well, I think I'm responding to, when I make art, it's a way to try to be human, and the best human and the most emotionally and spiritually aware and sensitive I can be to what's going inside and outside of me. And right now, I think to be a sensitive and awake human being, you have to at least be worried for vulnerable people. A lot of us are wondering if we are the vulnerable people or if it's just people we know or people we don't know. But I'm not trying to do any kind of journalism. I'm trying to give an emotional weather report. And the emotional weather is very paranoid, fearful, but with like a large measure of growing solidarity between people who are concerned about the vulnerable. Because right now there's a lot of vulnerable communities worldwide, and I'm trying to find some solidarity with the vulnerable. And it's natural, actually, because I feel scared for myself also sometimes.
Scared because of what?
For example, I grew up with a lot of Holocaust education, and my grandparents were Holocaust refugees, and they left their homes and kind of went out on the run, you know, went into hiding right around the time World War II began. And I would always hear about all the people around them would be, the more common response was like, it's not that bad. It's not going to be that bad. You know, it's, we might not support this government, but, you know, how bad could it be? So, like, I am a little bit wired to wonder how paranoid to be. And the way a government decays and becomes totally frightening, it's sort of a slow slide until it's a quick slide. you know, so I'm watching the slow slide and getting a little bit concerned, I suppose you could say. There's a voice in my mind that says, don't worry, we're safe. And then there's another voice that's like, I don't think we can trust that feeling of like, well, it's not that bad. Because for a lot of people right now, it kind of is that bad. And particularly refugees who are being denied access to the United States and access to other countries, it's just incredibly un-American and just evil to turn away people who are running from life-threatening violence and saying, like, we don't want those people because I don't know why. I don't know what threat they could possibly pose. They're trying to get to a peaceful place to live away from war.
And do you feel also sometimes a little bit illegal, just to cite a song lyric from you? I mean, you're cross-dressing, and is this an act of rebellion against this grab-them-by-the-pussy machismo more than ever before?
It's a good question. Dressing feminine, presenting myself as feminine is something I never meant it to be an act of protest. It's just kind of what feels better to me. I think you have to do more than dress feminine. That doesn't count as a protest. I'm trying to protest that rape culture and patriarchy any way I can. The way the transphobic mainstream, you know, just makes the way I dress into something that's radical. I didn't want it to be, but, you know, it's good if it is, because obviously we are culturally noticing, particularly in America, that misogyny can't go on as it has in the past. Women won't stand for it. They don't need to stand for it. I'm very feminist. It's a deep orientation of mine. If you want to do it right, you have to be aware of misogyny everywhere that it is, which is every day. And it's not like something you see once in a while that's, oh, that's bad. You know, it's just like it's all the time. The way femininity is made to seem less legitimate, often backed into a corner and threatened with violence.
You are Jewish and you are a religious person. You, for example, do not perform on Sabbath, if I understood it right. In our interview for Corso 2015, you said, Judaism is about rebellion. It's a permanent declaration of independence. Is religion a thing which gives you confidence and power in this political situation and this surrounding?
Yes. Religion has dealt with oppression before. It's also been the oppression. But what's really true to the spirit of religion, to me, is the voice of the prophets who are constantly outraged about injustice, like all the time. That's like, if you ever read Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, all these prophets, their main concern is that poor people are being mistreated, vulnerable people are being mistreated, and rich people are sitting back and saying, God's on our side. Or we don't care about the powerless. And it's infuriating if you're, like, sensitive to human dignity, which I think, at least Judaism, one of the main goals of practicing Judaism is to sensitize you to human dignity and the opportunities of every moment of your day to bring dignity, holiness, and consolation to a broken and unfair world. That's not like a leftist view of religion either. That's like, read the Bible. That's kind of what it's about. That's one of the main things that it's about. You've got your instructions for priests also. But I'm not sure. The biblical mind cannot tolerate a society where people are abused and degraded. I could go on about it, but you should probably stop me.
Yeah, but maybe how is this idea of dignity reflected in your songs, in your music? Is it or is it not?
Yeah, well, it's all over the new record in particular. But I think the act of playing music and making art should be an act of freedom and dignity. You know, it shows that you can do strange things that have no purpose other than beauty or expressive power. You don't have to do things because they're productive. I'm generalizing to, you know, what I think the point of art in general is. I sing a lot about rejecting false authority. I suppose, being true to what's good in you, to your best self. I hope that comes through. I hope so. And a lot of it is joy also. There is some real joy. With all the anger and all the very significant sadness in my music, I think the biggest thing that sticks is the joy of playing music and like being a person who's allowed to make noise.
Sounds good. On this new album, there is a song, Come Here, Get Away From Me. I believe in God, but I don't believe we're getting out of this one. What does that mean?
Well, it continues before somebody pays for the things I've done. I don't think you need me to explain that line to you. But I guess the one thing I will say about it is that believing in God is not always a great comfort, the way people think of it. And if you really are wrestling with God, there's a lot of fear in it. And the fear is really, I mean, it's for one thing of your vulnerability and how small we are in this giant, potentially infinite universe. But then the other thing is like, I have a problem if I really believe it matters what I do, because I've been wasting time and I've been mean to people sometimes, you know? Everybody does things that if they took seriously that the source of the universe cares about what they do, they would be very concerned that they have been spending their time the wrong way. Especially those of us with things like free time and money, we forget to use those things to their potential to make the world better. And, you know, I think if in a certain mood, I'm afraid of God's judgment, to put it dramatically. It's not such a comfort all the time to believe in God. Sometimes you know that you gotta pay.
Let's talk about your music. On your last album, Perpetual Motion People, the sound was quite colorful and open, reminiscence, I think, to the 50s doo-wop, even if the lyrics were quite contemplative. But on this record, we hear horror sounds in the beginning of the opener song, screams, lamentations. Sometimes you are yelling rather than singing. What happened musically?
One thing is that we decided we were done making love letters to the 20th century in music. Our previous records were sort of us trying to sound like a live band playing all together in that way that most music was made in 1959. The new music is not intended to sound like a band in a room. It's really a studio creation, you know? The other thing is I think we just put a lot more time into it and a lot more artful thought into arranging the songs and choosing how to present them. We went through a lot of versions of these songs. We made demos, we tried ideas, and we threw whole concepts of songs, completely threw them away and started from nothing again. Because the goal was to not to do our default thing, not to do what we've learned to do over the years of playing rock and roll type music, but to do the most interesting and original thing that still really gets the song across and makes it connect. So we used some instruments we hadn't used before also, like cello. That was a big change that there's a lot of cello on this album.
Yeah, totally. The funky saxophone has been replaced by the contemplative cello. That's like a symbol, isn't it?
I suppose you could see some meaning in that, or a shift of tone. There's still saxophone, though. There is. Usually it's got some weird pedal on it. I think we're still going to play the sax. There's going to be a lot of saxophone in our show, because who can resist the saxophone? I love it. I still love it. It's not going away. But yeah, we pushed ourselves. We really did. And also I found out that my bass player plays cello. I didn't realize that he did. And he's really good at it and good at writing arrangements.
I have seen you on the stage in Cologne 2015 on your Perpetual Motion People tour. Your performance was very energetic and powerful on the one hand, but on the other, you were going to the extremes. That was what I thought during this gig. There was a lot of distortion in your voice, I would say. It seemed to me like you are in a state of trance during your gigs. Is it like that? Are you completely in your own world?
Well, I think people make good art when they know exactly what they like and they're not thinking about anything but that. I'm sure in Cologne I was not distracted. You know, I have to connect with the songs. I have to commune with the spirit of a piece of writing and music. And it sort of takes me to almost inhuman places at times. Some of those shows, I just feel like I am flying, you know, like just there's nothing like it when it really gets to the place that it should be, where the band's energy peaks and the audience energy peaks and you're in another world. The reason music exists is because you want to go beyond words and beyond normal life to a place where things are special and charged with meaning and emotion and energy. And we know how to do that. I know how to do that.